Ladies and gentlemen, sports fans alike, welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky's Sports Talk Chicago, one of the couple, two, three best podcasts around. So sit back, grab yourself a cold one and a Polish sausage, park your keister in the French room, and listen to Bill Swirsky's Sports Talk Chicago.
In Chicago, you know that all sports rock. The Bears, Hawks, Bulls, Cubs, and Sox. Pick your favorite, you can choose, as long as the Packers lose. For everything you need to know, it's Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago. Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. This is your host, Alex. Our brave and noble leader, Sean, is under the weather today. He lost his voice, unfortunately, said it was the sickest he's been in a while. So for the first time ever, I will be hosting this show solo. So hopefully all goes well, and we got a lot to talk about today. We have Bears end of the season presser, finally, after the long week we had. Suffering, still sad, and then a week later, still sad during this NFC Championship Sunday, wishing we were there. We also have Cubs convention, Manny Machado, White Sox rumors, and some Blackhawks and Bulls news, if you want to call it that. Not much to say there, but we'll get to them as well near the end of the show. But first, we'd like to thank our sponsor, the Rockford IceHogs. If you're not familiar with the Rockford IceHogs, they are the AHL minor league affiliate of your Chicago Blackhawks. What does that mean for you? You get to see the stars of tomorrow today at family-friendly, affordable prices. We are well into the AHL season, so go on down to Rockford, get yourself some tickets, a hat, a shirt, a jersey, and more. Tell them Swirsky Sports sent you. All right, so we are going to get into the Bears first, because that's what we typically do on the show. They had their end-of-the-year press conference. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy talked to the media. They waited a little bit after their loss against the Eagles to talk about it. Everyone was still, you know, visibly disappointed with the way it ended, but I think there's a lot of optimism. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace talked about a lot of the young kids who stepped up this year and the growth of Mitchell Trubisky, and, you know, basically saying that most of the growth next year is going to come within. I mean, it's a young team. Most of the guys are going to be back. It's going to be pretty much the same team next year outside of a few changes, and a lot of it's going to be your young core right in the middle of it. Trubisky has his first full year under his belt. He's going to try to continue to grow. You have Tariq Cohen, you have Leonard Floyd, you had Roquan Smith, who was a rookie. I mean, the list goes on and on. A bunch of young players who had little or no experience this year, you know, getting their taste of success. You know, they went 12-4 despite the way it ended. It was still a fantastic regular season. I know it's hard to look at it that way, but, you know, they're pretty proud of it. They realize that their ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl, and though it didn't end where they wanted to, they can build off this year. They could learn from it. It's kind of similar to that loss against Green Bay in week one. You know, they learned from it. They used it as a learning experience. They're not going to look at it as a way to keep themselves down thinking what could have been. They're going to use it to learn from it. And that's, you know, basically what Nagy and Pace were trying to approach it as. And I think that's the right way to approach it, even though we still look at it as a crushing defeat. And we probably will. Until the Bears go on a playoff run, a deep playoff run, we're going to be thinking about that Eagles game for a while. So, you know, it's hard to look at it in a positive light, but there are a ton of positives to look for the upcoming season. And I think that press conference kind of gave a lot of us Bears fans, I guess it didn't make us get it over, you know, make us forget it or get over it by any means, but at least it was kind of a way of saying, all right, what happened happened. We have this vision for the future. Let's move forward, even though it still stinks. Obviously, the press conference had a lot of things that you kind of expected. You know, when you're having an end-of-year presser with a year like this, you know, you're going to reflect on, you know, the goods that happened, obviously the defense and all that stuff, and staying healthy, because you know, for the most part, this team was very healthy. You had a few guys that were banged up. Anthony Miller is going to need off-season surgery. But, you know, most of it was spent healthy. So that was a topic of conversation. Now, there were a few things, obviously, that were brought up in the press conference that we all expected, but we were just kind of waiting to see the answers. I think you all know which one I'm thinking about right now. It was Cody Parkey and the whole thing about going on TV on the Today Show. They didn't seem too pleased about it. You know, you saw Nagy say, again, I didn't think it was a we thing regarding it. You, talking about winning as a team, losing as a team. You know, his full quote was, "We always talk about a we and not a me thing. And we always talk as a team. We win as a team. We lose as a team. You know, I didn't necessarily think that was too much of a we thing." And they also added that they are going to bring in kicking competition for next year. It's not going to be something they're just going to let be. I don't know. I think it's looking more and more likely that Cody Parkey is going to be gone, despite all the guaranteed money. You know, a lot of money is going to be paid to Cody Parkey next year. But I just think he's probably going to be gone. After those comments, after the Today Show thing, you know, you look at the stats last year, he was one of the worst kickers in the NFL. And they signed him because he was a pretty accurate kicker throughout his career. It wasn't a long career, but in his previous years, he didn't really have the thump that, say, Robbie Gould had. But, you know, he was fairly accurate. And this year, that was not the case. So I think it's pretty possible that Cody Parkey is going to be gone. I think a lot of people feel the same way. And that's fine with me. The whole Today Show thing, it didn't bother me as much as other people. I still kind of looked at it and kind of cringed a bit. I didn't really watch the whole thing still. I really don't have any intentions on watching the whole thing. But, you know, I could see why the Bears themselves wouldn't be too happy about that sort of thing. And, you know, I think getting a new kicker is probably just for the best because you want someone you can trust. And I know that this is kind of a meatball-sounding take to a lot of people, but, you know, I even think that the most intelligent Bears fans, and look, I'm not the most intelligent Bears fan, I'll tell you that. There are Bears fans and writers that know way more about football than I do, but I think even some of those people would legitimately say, hey, why not bring Robbie Gould back next year? And you know what? If they got him at a decent price, I say you pull the trigger. You do it. He faded towards the end of his first stint as a Bear. And then he realized, you know what, I got to work on my game. He worked on it. He came back with the Giants and the 49ers, and he looked like Robbie Gould again. And I think there's no doubt that he'd be motivated, ready to win if he were to come back to the Bears. And I know he lives here in the offseason, so, you know, I'd say try to make that work. It's better than what you have. Now, the other big thing that a lot of people are talking about, and I really wanted to talk about this, is everyone was talking about that press conference, the whole Kareem Hunt thing. And a lot of outlets kind of misquoted what Nagy and Pace said and made it look like they were considering Kareem Hunt and that they were talking to Kareem Hunt about possibly signing next year. Really what was said was, they were asked about it, and they responded with, look, we haven't thought that far ahead. So, you know, of course, a lot of beat writers go, oh, they didn't say no, they didn't say no. Matt Nagy knows Kareem Hunt. And then Matt Nagy said, look, I talked to him on the phone. Oh, the Bears are talking to Kareem Hunt. Oh, boy. Look, they were talking about non-football things. And look, I'm sure if you're an NFL fan, you know what happened with Kareem Hunt last year. And the conversation that Nagy had with his former teammate, I guess you could call it, he was, you know, when he was coaching in Kansas City, Kareem Hunt was on the team. They were talking about, you know, personal stuff and the whole situation that happened with Hunt. It was nothing football related, but there was just a lot of stuff stirred by the media saying, oh, they're considering Kareem Hunt. You know, they never said they were considering Kareem Hunt. They just didn't say, no, we're not going to sign Kareem Hunt. And that's, you're not going to say flat out no to signing anybody at the end of the year presser. I mean, the offseason really for them hadn't even begun yet. I'm not saying that they're automatically not going to sign Kareem Hunt. I'm just saying I think that it's getting blown out of proportion a little bit. He's probably going to sign somewhere. And also keep in mind that he may be disciplined by the league, so if he signs somewhere, you know, he'll probably start suspended. And the Bears have Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. And I know a lot of Bears fans don't like Jordan Howard. I like him more than a lot of other Bears fans. And, you know, there's the idea that they're going to get rid of Jordan Howard to get Kareem Hunt. Here's the thing. If he's suspended and you sign him, then you're going to keep Jordan Howard and get rid of him? Are you going to get rid of Jordan Howard and make Tariq Cohen your number one until Kareem Hunt comes back? I don't know. Also, with, you know, what happened with Kareem Hunt, the domestic violence thing, they had the whole thing with McDonald a few years ago, and then they cut him at the first sign of trouble. I am not completely sure if McCaskey would approve of that kind of signing. I don't know. I see a lot of, oh, it's not going to be a matter of if, when Kareem Hunt comes to the Bears. I just don't see that. I don't see it that way. I don't think there's anything that definitively tells me Kareem Hunt is going to be signed by the Bears next year. That's just my opinion. I just think it's getting blown out a little out of proportion right now. And, I mean, they were asked that question. I don't even know if they bring up Kareem Hunt if they weren't asked about him. So there's that whole thing. But, yeah, I mean, outside, you know, the Parkey thing, the Hunt thing, everything else was almost what you'd expect. Yeah, we like what we saw last year. We're going to build upon it, all that good stuff. And, of course, they brought up Chuck Pagano, who we talked about last week. And, you know, again, the more I look at Chuck Pagano, the more I think, you know, we may have gotten a good deal here. I mean, Vic Fangio did a lot of good things here in Chicago, and the defense was amazing last year. But, you know, Chuck Pagano, his kind of scheme, his kind of personality, we may see this defense improve under Chuck Pagano even more. So I wish Vic Fangio a lot of luck, and I thank him for what he did, but, you know, you might look at this and say, this might have been all for the best, him leaving. Because I think Chuck Pagano is going to do a heck of a job here. You know, Sean talked about it last week, saying he plays more man-to-man than zone. We've seen situations in Bears games where they have the lead late and the game is made closer than it should be because, you know, they play zone or they play prevent defense. They're not playing man-to-man and, you know, teams kind of claw their way back into games because of that. I think if you see a bit more of an aggressiveness with this group, you may see less of that next year with Chuck Pagano. And Chuck Pagano's got a great personality. I think Chuck Pagano is a really good fit with this type of culture. So I'm really excited for Chuck Pagano, and it sounds like they're really excited for Chuck Pagano as well. We may have a real good deal there. I mean, that's really the big things I wanted to talk about from that press conference. There's a few other things, but, you know, again, it's kind of what you expected. And I'm going to be watching the NFC Championship still with that kind of feeling of, man, that could be us right now. I don't know if they would have beaten the Rams in L.A. last week. I mean, the Rams had a pretty good control of that game from, I'd say, the second quarter on over the Cowboys. But I also think the Bears are a lot better than the Cowboys. And I think the Bears would have given them a heck of a fight even if they didn't win. You know, you look at both games that the Saints and the Rams played, the two teams in the NFC that were higher seeds than the Bears. And, I mean, they won, but they didn't dominate. And part of that makes me feel, man, the Bears could have won these matchups. But coulda, woulda, shoulda, it's not going to do any good. It's still just a little frustrating. I will say, sweet poetic justice for Mr. Alshon Jeffrey with that interception to end the game. And normally I wouldn't be tough on the guy, but just the way he acted, the way he talked about, you know, how he, I guess him saying that he wasn't fitting well in Chicago and he fit better in Philly. I mean, whatever. It's not every environment's for you. I wasn't as upset about that, but the way he was acting like such a jerk during the playoff game in Chicago, you know, putting, you know, cupping his hand to his ear and, you know, waving bye to Bears. I mean, I just, that was just being a jerk and, you know, sweet justice for that. And I'm not going to go on and rail him endlessly like other people have. I'm just, I got to admit, I did get a little kick out of that. You know, it always comes back to bite you, and it did, but they had a little moment, so moving on from Alshon Jeffrey, you know, doesn't really bother me anymore. It was just, in that moment, it was a little satisfying to see if there was any silver lining with this playoffs for the Bears. So, yeah. Looking at the Bears going forward, I know they said a lot of improvements going to come within, and yeah, I mean, a lot of guys are going to continue to grow, but you look at kind of what changes they may make outside the whole hypothetical Kareem Hunt thing, you only have a few free agents. I mean, at least a few notable ones. You have guys like Bryce Callahan, Adrian Amos, Bobby Massey, Aaron Lynch. You know, most of these guys that are on the team right now are going to be under contract for next year, whether on a rookie deal or they're just, you know, flat on their deals. You're only going to have a few free agents to deal with, and those four are kind of the biggest guys. You know, Bryce Callahan will probably want to bring a guy like him back. You know, Aaron Lynch was solid depth. I think Bobby Massey is gone. He's 29. He was solid last year, but I think this is, you have the draft this year where you don't have a first or second round pick. You have a third round pick to start, and that's probably where you can draft an offensive lineman, a tackle to replace Bobby Massey. Because Bobby Massey probably will be getting a little bit of a pay raise after a solid year last year with the Bears. So I think the Bears are probably just going to address that via the draft and let Bobby Massey walk. I'd be kind of surprised if they re-signed Bobby Massey at his age right now, even though he did look solid last year. You know, there's a whole long offseason to look at free agency and draft and all that. I mean, this is kind of the first time we're looking at a Bears offseason, and we're not sitting here thinking, who's going to be drafted first by the Bears, and what are they targeting, yada, yada. You know, this is going to be, how are we going to improve a team that went 12-4 last year and hopefully go on a run? A little different this year. So that's really all I have for the Bears. I don't know if there's really anything else noteworthy of talking right now, but, you know, stuff will come up as the offseason goes along. Moving on, really the big Chicago happening this weekend was Cubs convention, as we look forward to the Cubs season coming up. This was a weekend that started with more frustration from the fans than joy or excitement. And it sounds weird coming off a 95-win season, but look, it ended in the wild card game. It ended with losing game 163 before that, scoring two total runs in the last two games to pretty much be one and done, losing out on something you had control of, which was a division title, and the Brewers took it from you on your home turf, and then you lost on your home turf 2-1 in a grueling extra inning game. A lot of fans were expecting big moves. A lot of fans were probably expecting Bryce Harper or some big trade or something of some substance. Cubs really haven't done anything this offseason. They signed Daniel Descalso, who's a solid bench player, but not really something that would put you over the top. And then we get into, you know, Tom Ricketts, Theo Epstein, talking the past few days, and Tom Ricketts spoke on the radio. He addressed the fans about this offseason and moving forward. And look, long story short, the Cubs are putting all their faith in the team they have right now. There's not going to be a huge move. Bryce Harper, forget him. Any other remaining free agents? Maybe assign a reliever or two, which they need to. They have to address the bullpen. I don't care what Joe or what the owner says. I don't care what Ricketts says. They need to revamp that bullpen. There's no excuse not to. Brandon Morrow right now is currently hurt. He's your closer. You have Pedro Strop and Steve Cishek. Outside of those two, who do you trust? Carl Edwards Jr. is great stuff, but you see what happens when he starts walking guys. Mike Montgomery, he shows flashes of greatness and then sometimes just really struggles. Brian Dunsing is looking like a flash in the pan right now. Randy Rosario was a AAA call-up that I don't know if I would trust this year. He might have been a flash in the pan too, and you saw him kind of fade towards the end of last season. You need to revamp the bullpen at the very least. Here's my whole thing about the whole Cubs budget issue that Tom Ricketts talked about on the radio. He was interviewed on 670 The Score and ESPN 1000 on the same day. He said that the Cubs have one of the highest payrolls. They do. They're doing renovations on the park and the surrounding areas. They are. I know it's around $1 billion, probably a little more in total costs. They have to pay high taxes. That's true. You don't want to shell out $30 million a year for one player over a number of years. Okay. It's disappointing, but you know what? You're a business, and I get it. I as much as it sucks, I get it. You have to have a budget. What bothers me is that they're saying how they have to get creative to sign like relievers like Adam Warren. You really can't shell out a few million to get some relievers? You need to revamp this bullpen. That's where I draw the line. That's borderline ridiculous. You're not the Tampa Bay Rays. You're not the Oakland A's. You are the Chicago freaking Cubs. You are one of the biggest cash cows in sports. And while signing a guy like Harper to a ridiculous contract can affect you, but signing a few relievers, even just one? Come on. Don't give me that. That's garbage. Don't give me that. You really want to rely on what you have now in the bullpen? I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. And look, they have a lot of faith in the team as it is. It is a good team. I want to stress that it is a good team. I think that they still are probably one of the biggest favorites to win the division, if not the big favorite. Obviously, the Cardinals getting Goldschmidt boosts them a lot. The Milwaukee Brewers getting Grandal probably helps their chances too, even though I don't think they're going to have quite as lightning-in-a-bottle season as they had last year. You look at talent across the board, you know, a healthy Cubs team is probably still the best team in the NL Central. But you're also relying on a lot of what-ifs. Is Chris Bryant's shoulder healthy? Is Yu Darvish going to be healthy and ready to go? Is your closer Brandon Morrow going to come back? Is Albert Elmora Jr. going to find the consistency that we've been waiting for? Is Kyle Schwarber, who, mind you, did have a pretty good season last year, all things considering. He had an OBP above 350. The power went down, but, you know, it did for pretty much everybody. We all know why, the whole Chili Davis thing. But is he going to take that next step? Is he going to be a guy that could get on base 360-plus with 40-plus home runs? We're still waiting to see that. So that's going to be the question there. And then, of course, there's other questions to be asked. One big one that I'll get into in a minute. But, you know, you have pretty safe bets in Anthony Rizzo. Pretty safe bets in Kyle Hendricks pitching really well. Javier Baez being really good. And Jason Hayward, you pretty much know what you're going to get at this point. You're going to get a guy with a really good glove and a mediocre average, maybe slightly above average bat at best. Respectable at best. You're not going to get anything elite out of that, but you'll at least get some value out of a guy like Hayward, but, you know, not as much as you thought you were going to get when you signed into that huge deal. I mean, the fact of the matter is everyone in the division got better in this offseason. So it's going to be a dogfight. The NL Central might be the toughest division in all of baseball. I mean, look at the Reds. They're making moves. They're getting Yasiel Puig, Alex Wood. sounds like they're going to get Sonny Gray. I mean, the teams are making moves around him. So you got to hope that everything goes well. I mean, really, on paper, yeah, the Cubs look like a team that can not only go to the playoffs, but go to the World Series. But with the way the team is constructed and, you know, not making a significant addition or two, you're pretty much going to have to say, well, for them to do what they have to do, they're pretty much going to have a flawless season. Everything's going to go right. You're going to have everyone healthy. You're going to have everyone playing up to their talent level. Everything's going to go right because, you know, they're not going to be playing in a ticky-tacky division where they can just steamroll them. Every team in that division, from the Cardinals to the Brewers to the Pirates to the Reds, is going to give you tough competition. I don't think any team in the NL Central right now is going to be anything less than at least decently competitive. The Reds are improved, and I think the Pirates are good enough to be competitive. So a lot's going to have to go right. And if they don't make the postseason, then you know what? That's on the front office and ownership not letting some improvements happen. Because I'll say it once, I'll say it again. Okay, you don't get Bryce Harper. But you still got to do something. You got to do something. So we'll see. The other thing about CubsCon going into it this year was, you know, I'll admit, I was pretty critical of the Ricketts family for not doing their Q&A this year. And if it was any other year, I'd say whatever. But with the Addison Russell stuff, with people ready to really express their frustration and disappointment about it, to not address the fans, it just wasn't a good look, in my opinion. And I was pretty angry. I'm going to admit, I was pretty angry about it. Look, I don't think that fans addressing the owners is really going to change anything. It's probably not. And it's probably going to be the same answers that we've heard over and over from them. But I still think that if you are going to make a decision to keep Addison Russell, which, you know, he may or may not be on the team come spring training, but right now you tendered him a contract and you're paying him. Not right now, obviously, because he's suspended, but, you know, you tendered him a contract. But to keep him in the organization right now, I think you have to face the criticism from the fans face-to-face, because this isn't just, oh, he didn't pay this guy, or they didn't go after Bryce Harper, or, you know, yada yada. You know, this is a domestic violence is an incredibly serious issue, and I think you as the owners need to face the fans. You need to face a little bit of backlash in person, because not doing that, it's not a good look. And look, the Ricketts have done so many good things for the organization. They won a World Series. They're improving the ballpark. You know, they changed a lot of the culture for the good that the Tribune Company just failed to do. But I think this was just a big blunder on their part. And I think they need to own up to that. But that's me. Other things on the Cubs. Boy, don't call St. Louis boring. Because guys like Yadier Molina are going to call you a loser and a dumb loser. Whew, wow. Bryant simply said St. Louis is boring in a joking panel with Ryan Dempster at CubsCon. And boy, oh boy, was St. Louis angry. Wow. But hey, you know what? It's fueling the Cubs-Cards rivalry. It means baseball is coming back, so have at it. But make this rivalry, you know, really hyped up this year, because it's going to be, with them adding Paul Goldschmidt, you know, it's going to be a dogfight for the NL Central, so you might as well pump it up now. And, you know, part of me thinks this exchange of words between Bryant and, you know, Yachty and, you know, all the angry fans, I think this was them just trying to pump up this rivalry a little bit. That or they're just really angry about something that I think they're blowing out of proportion just a little bit. But, you know, whatever. Either way, it hypes up the rivalry. So that's cool. That's what it's meant to be. It's supposed to be a fierce rivalry, especially when both teams are good. And, you know, obviously they've been competing for the same thing the past 4 years now. They've been competing in the playoffs. They've been competing for division titles. So, yeah, you know, get the hate started. Get it all going. Lastly, when it comes to the Cubs, here's another thing I wanted to say about the players and some of what the media does to the players. And again, this is just my opinion. I really don't like when media members ask players on the team to speak on Addison Russell's behalf. I just think it's kind of unfair. The players, you know, they're not going to come out and say, you know, I hate him, he's the worst, you know, I wish he's gone. They have to keep the profile of looking like a good teammate. And even if, you know, they don't condone what they did, they shouldn't condone what he did. What Addison Russell did was awful. And, you know, I as a fan, I could come out and say, look, I think Addison Russell's a scumbag and he needs to go. A player is not going to do that in public. They're in a lose-lose situation. Now, Bryant and Ian Happ made comments basically saying, look, we don't speak for him. He's got to earn his way back. I think that's the best thing you can say. But it's still not an easy situation for a player to be in. So I hate when players have to speak on his behalf. They don't want to look like a bad teammate. They don't want to look like they're going to stir the pot worse if they say bad things about the team. They also don't want to condone the awful behavior of Addison Russell. It's just an awful situation. Stop putting the players in that situation. Excuse me. It's just not fair to them. What are they going to say? Well, again, I think Ian Happ and Chris Bryant chose their words very well. I think that's a very good example of how to approach it. But still. Anyway, that's my whole thing about that. Don't really have anything else Cubs-wise. Continuing with baseball, I will bring up the White Sox, and I will bring up the Manny Machado thing, and oh boy, this is just getting annoying. You're hearing new rumors every day, new figures that the White Sox offered. Some say they offered $8 million, no, or the 8 years, I should say, 8 years and 200-some million. Then some say it's 7 years. Some say it was below $200 million. Some say it was above. I'm so sick of the rumors. I personally think that Manny Machado will be a member of the White Sox when it's all said and done. I really do. Because I think Bryce Harper, if he goes to Philly, I don't see any way how Philly signs both. And I don't think he's going to the Yankees because the Yankees have made a bunch of other moves on infield and they're crowded as it is. Unless they do something really wacky where like they trade somebody or something weird, I don't know, but right now I don't see him going there. And there's these talks of mystery teams swooping in, and we don't really know much about that. I think it's the safest bet right now is to think that Manny Machado is going to the White Sox. I just think it's a very annoying process. All these different rumors, all these different talks, and you have agents calling out reporters like Bob Nightingale about these rumors, and you know, I don't blame some people for being upset because, you know, these rumors are just being spouted left and right. I mean, it's to the point where I don't even bother looking at the rumors anymore. It's just like, okay, update me when he signed. I don't care about the projected this or, you know, oh, he was offered this, but, you know, he may want to seek more from a mystery team. I'm just so sick of it with him and Harper. Just wake me up when they sign somewhere. And again, I think it's going to be the White Sox for Machado. I really do. And that would be a huge, huge gift for the White Sox. It would boost their rebuild. And it, at the very least, it would give White Sox fans a reason to go out to the ballpark and, you know, watch an all-star caliber player play every day. I mean, if I were a White Sox fan, I would go to more games than I have the past 2 years if they got Manny Machado. I think it would make a big difference. I mean, the White Sox haven't really landed a big free agent in a while. I think their last big free agent signing I can remember was Adam Dunn, and that was like, what, 2011? That was a while ago. You know, obviously in 2015, Rick Hahn made moves to get, like, Melky Cabrera and David Robertson, but they weren't really huge free agents. This would be probably their biggest free agent signing ever, at least in this era, when you consider all the free agents that they've signed. Maybe Jim Thome would be bigger. You know, Jim Tomei's a Hall of Fame player, so maybe not ever, but it would be up there. I mean, if you consider the talent level, I mean, Thome and Machado are two pretty different players. They're both elite players. Tomei's a Hall of Famer, so take the comparison as you will, but it would definitely be one of their biggest free agent signings ever if they do pull this out, and I do think they will. It's just a matter of time, or a mystery team swoops in. I don't know, but we'll just see how it plays out. That's all I really got to say about the White Sox. So, moving on from that. Bulls and Blackhawks. Wendell Carter Jr. looks like he will have surgery now. He'll be out for a while. The team has 10 wins. I haven't watched the game in a long time. I got nothing else. I do want to talk more Hawks, though. This is frustrating because the Blackhawks, right now as I talk, they're still in their game with the Capitals, have the least number of points in the NHL. And yet, Toews and Kane are on pace to have the best years of their career. Alex DeBrincat is on pace to score 40 goals. I mean, there's talent on this team, but when you don't have a defense anymore and you don't have the depth, it goes to show what happens. You can't be top-heavy and expected to go far. This is why the Blackhawks were so good, and this is probably why Toews and Kane are putting up career years, is because they're doing a lot of the work. The depth on this team is just nowhere near as good as it was when they were cup contenders. So obviously, they're going to score more because you're not getting that production from the bottom lines. I mean, Artem Anisimov hasn't done as much this year. You know, you have a lot of young guys that are looking promising. You know, Cahoon looks like a solid depth player, but, you know, he's still young. You know, Marcus Kruger is Marcus Kruger. You know, he's hurt now. You're giving a lot of chances to young players, which, you know, in this season where you're clearly not going anywhere, you know, that's what you want to do. You want to see what you can get from that. It's just going to show that when you don't have established depth, you know, you're not going to be contenders, even when your top guys are having great years. I mean, Kane has already scored 2 goals in this Capitals game, and so has Toews. So Kane's almost at 30 goals going into the All-Star break. And he could finish, if he goes at this pace, which I'm sure he'll probably cool off at some point, but, you know, we can maybe stop talking about 40 goals. Maybe he'll have a near 50-goal season. So that'd be something. Toews will probably score around 30. DeBrincat, I think, will be 40, 41, 42, if all goes well. You know, Brandon Saad, he'll probably be his usual Brandon Saad, around 24, 25 goals. You know, I was thinking the other day about Brandon Saad, and I watched Brandon Saad play, and I think he's much more of a talent than his numbers show. I think he's had a lot of tough luck over the last few years. We've seen him have great chances to score where he does something awesome, like a nice deke or, you know, a nice takeaway where he speeds down the ice. And then, you know, he either gets absolutely robbed by the goaltender, or at the last second it's tipped away, or, you know, it'll hit the post or it'll hit the inside of the post and rattle around and go. I mean, we've seen a lot of bad luck from Saad. I know people are still kind of upset about losing Panarin, and I get it. The guy's a really good scorer. He is a better scorer than Saad, but, you know, Saad's got that two-way talent to him that's really special, and we saw how good he was in the playoffs his first stint with the Hawks. I think that's really important to remember. Now imagine if they get Panarin back next year somehow, and you're able to keep Saad, and you have Saad and Panarin with DeBrincat, Toews, and Kane. That's the scoring dream right there. But, you know, at the end of the day, scoring really isn't the issue. I mean, it's been the defense. The defense has not been good at all, and I mean, I don't think we have to talk much more about that. We know what the situation is. Now, there was a bit of news the other day when we did see Corey Crawford start to get back on the ice and do hockey activities. So is Corey Crawford going to come back soon? You know, maybe. But right now we're seeing Colin Delia play. And Colin Delia, you're seeing promise from him. I think you're seeing him possibly bud into a legitimate guy for the future on this team. Because let's face it, even if Corey Crawford does come back, I think with his injury history and everything that's happened, he's not going to be around much longer. I hate to say it, but that's probably going to be the reality of it. Delia does have a lot of work to do. He's got to control rebounds better. He's giving up some soft goals, but you know what? He's had some great games. He's made some terrific saves. And look, you're going to see rebound control issues and some soft goal issues from young goaltenders in the NHL. I mean, that's part of the growing pains. He's just going to get better as he goes along. It's going to be an interesting journey, but, you know, I think they may have something legitimately good there in Colin Delia. The Hawks are basically in a spot right now where I don't think they're going to be doing a full rebuild. I think with the trades they've made, the Stromey trade, and some of the other things where they've gotten rid of some bad contracts like Ruda and Manning, and they've been able to get some talent with low-risk, high-reward, or a talent that looks like it could still butt into something. To me, this feels just like a complete retool. Retooling, not rebuilding. So, building the depth back, hopefully improving in the offseason. Look, you may retool and get a really high draft pick as well. Now, that wouldn't immediately fix your issues next year, because you don't draft a guy in the NHL and he goes right to the NHL unless it's, you know, a top talent, like a Patrick Kane or something like that. I mean, even if the Hawks get a really high pick, I'm not sure that they would get a guy that would make an immediate impact first thing next year. May take a year or half a season or whatever. It's just, you know, it's not like the NBA or the NFL where when you draft a guy, you know he's going to be right in the big leagues. But, you know, you might get a really good prospect next year through the draft and also be able to try to rebound. And, you know, it'll be 2 years since they made the playoffs. They missed it last year. They'll miss it this year. But there's still talent on that team, clearly. Talent from those cup runs. Kane, Taze, plus you add in DeBrincat now. Obviously, Keith and Seabrook, we know the situation there. You're going to be stuck with them. They were an elite talent that were on those cup teams, but they're never going to be the same players again. They're old, a lot of miles on them. Father Time always wins. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens in this offseason. I mean, right now, the rest of the year, basically you tune in to watch Patrick Kane do Patrick Kane things. You watch the resurgence of Taze. You watch Alex DeBrincat. You watch Colin Delia. And you watch some of those other younger guys they've brought up, kind of hoping that they can regel next year. Because in hockey, we've seen teams go through short retool periods. Like, you know, we saw Boston. They made the playoffs year after year. They had a down year or two, and then they were able to kind of regain themselves. Same with the Tampa Bay Lightning. You see it a lot in hockey. So that's probably, in my opinion, what the Hawks are looking for. I don't see a complete teardown. We called for a complete teardown a while ago. You know, whether or not you think it's effective, I just don't think that's what we're going to see. And by the way, congratulations to Jonathan Taze. As I'm doing this show, I have the Blackhawks Capitals game on at the United Center. Taze just scored his sixth career hat trick. And Patrick Kane has 2 goals today, so how cool would a Taze and Kane hat trick day be? That would be pretty sweet. So yeah, congrats to Jonathan Taze. I think that puts him at 20 goals now. He's either at, I think, over 20 goals now. So there you go. You know, Taze is on a good pace this year to score 30-plus. Now we'll see if Kane can get that hat trick. Currently 7-5. It's an old-school shootout at the United Center. Man, this stinks. You know, you're watching those two play so good, and the team's not going anywhere. If this was a contending Blackhawks team, it would be even more exciting. But hey, it's still fun watching those two play. Don't really have much else on the Blackhawks. You know, they'll just play out their season. I mean, really, those are all the thoughts I had today on this edition of Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. It's hard to be solo, but, you know, I kind of had fun with it. And I'm sure there are a lot of things that I missed, probably, you know, whether it's with the Bears or the Cubs or the Hawks. There's a lot of points that I may have not addressed, and I do apologize for that. It's just, it's kind of hard to do a show solo for, you know, an hour plus. I know we're at about 45 minutes right now, but, yeah, you know, I tried to hit on every point I could, and want to thank you all for listening so much, and hopefully Sean will be good to go next week, so it'll be the two of us again. Thanks again for listening. I'm Alex, and until next time, bear down.
Cubs win! What a lucky break! The good Lord wants the Cubs to win!
We thank Ditka and God for all they have provided.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Oh, I don't want her, you can have her. She's a Packer fan. She can't fit in my van.
And she looks like...
Remember, New Yorkers, smoking crack is not legal on planes.
Bears, 31 to negative 7.
The Bears!
Oh, when the Bears go bearing down...